26. Eddie said,
"So, after I count to three, we will all vote."
Gary stood up.
I move we postpone the vote.
Eddie asked,
"On what grounds?"
Gary looked around for any sign of his friends or an excuse to delay.
"I don't know. What would you suggest?"
Magnus Rex said,
"No, we won't postpone. We vote now. 3-2-1, vote."
All of the wizards except the Magnuses and Gary put their hands over their mouths and whispered the trigger phrase. The Magnuses stared at Gary, who looked around again, sagged, nodded at the Magnuses, covered his mouth, and voted as he had promised both the Magnuses and Philip he would. Then, and only then, did the Magnuses cover their own mouths to vote. Behind the Magnuses, floating above the dais that held the throne, a cloud of glowing dots appeared, then contracted inwards, clumping together into letters and words. The names of every wizard present, except for Gary, and one of the Magnuses, appeared with a number next to it. Most names had a one. A few had twos. One name, Magnus Rex, had a three. Gary sagged as both Magnuses cheered and hugged.
Sergio said, "This is unbelievable."
"Completely," Gary nearly shouted. "You have no idea how unbelievable it really is. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe it because, well, you get the idea."
Magnus Galka and Magnus Rex released their hug and stood laughing for several seconds until Magnus Galka said,
"I suggest you address your constituents, Chairman Magnus. Here, I've prepared a speech."
Magnus Galka handed a printed page of text to Magnus Rex. Magnus Rex took the paper, turned and looked down the table lined with stunned faces, then began reading.
"My fellow wizards, I thank you for the amazing honor you've bestowed on me. The idea that all of you have chosen me to be your leader, role model, and protector is truly humbling."
Gary said,
"You don't sound humbled."
"I promise,"
Magnus Rex continued,
"to do everything in my power to live up to the tremendous faith all of you have shown in me."
Sergio said,
"You got 3 votes.
"Yeah, which is more than anyone else got,"
Magnus Rex shouted. Magnus Galka cleared his throat. Magnus Rex regained his composure and continued.
"I have plans, my friends. Grand plans. Overdue plans. Plans that will make life better for every wizard here."
Gary winced.
"And those plans are?"
"Coming,"
Magnus Galka said.
"The plans are coming. Just let your chairman finish his speech. Have some respect for the office."
Magnus Rex read.
"It's time for us wizards to take our rightful place, to get what we are due. We are going to stand up and demand what we deserve."
Eddie said,
"We're all healthy, well-fed, fabulously rich, and not one of us works for a living. Oh, and we're immortal. We're probably the most privileged people who have ever existed on the face of the earth."
"And I say it's high time we were treated as such,"
Magnus Galka said. Eddie scowled.
"Treated as such? If the rest of humanity understood how good we really have it, they'd rise up with torches and pitchforks. It'd be the French Revolution all over again."
"That's right," Magnus Galka said. "They resent us. They resent our power. And if they understood our power, they'd resent us even more. That's why we have to make sure that it never comes to that."
Magnus Rex elbowed Magnus Galka in the ribs, whether it was to keep him from embarrassing himself or to stop him from upstaging the newly minted chairman was unclear. Magnus Galka stopped talking and nodded apologetically to Magnus Rex, who continued reading aloud.
We wizards have been too meek, hiding our light under humanity's bushel for too long. It's time for us to embrace our leadership role. More to the point, it's time for the non-wizards to embrace our leadership role. During my time as chairman, I will make it my primary goal to cement us wizards as the protectors and stewards of mankind.
The wizard sat in silent contemplation for several seconds, before Gary said,
"So, you want us wizards to be the leaders of the world?"
"Naturally," Magnus Rex said.
"And you are the leader of the wizards."
"You've all made me your leader."
"Uh-huh. So, what you're saying is that you want us to help you become the leader of the entire world."
Magnus Galka said,
"If I may, what I believe Magnus is saying
is what you wrote down on a piece of paper for him," Gary interrupted.
"Is that we wizards are better equipped to run things than everybody else, and that he is going to help all of you attain your rightful place and hold on to it once you've got it."
"By telling us what to do,"
Magnus Galka said.
"He can't do the work for you."
Gary shook his head.
"No, he needs us to do it for him. Guys, this is crazy and stupid. It's worse than crazy and stupid. It's evil. It's evil and crazy and stupid."
Sergio said,
"You voted for it."
"You don't know that?"
Gary sputtered.
"Besides, I gave my word. I promised more than one person. I had no choice. The way I saw it, don't blame me for this."
Sergio shrugged.
"It's certainly not my fault. I voted for myself."
Eddie said,
No, everybody. It's no use arguing over who's to blame for all of this. It's Gary. The point is, we have this mess and we're gonna have to deal with it."
"Yes,"
Magnus Galka said.
"And with Magnus's leadership, I'm certain we'll all get through this difficult time."
Eddie locked eyes with Magnus Galka.
"Yeah, about that. How exactly do you intend to make the locals see that it's in their best interest to unite under your glorious leadership?"
Magnus Galka said.
"Magnus isn't a monster, Eddie. He doesn't want to go out and take control of the world by force. If that's what you're worried about, I give you my word, Magnus will negotiate control of the governments of the world through peaceful, diplomatic means. Whenever possible."
"How?"
Eddie asked,
ignoring the sneaky little "whenever possible" you tacked on at the end. "How do you think you're going to peacefully taunt people into giving you control?"
Magnus Rex turned and looked at Magnus Galka, who opened his mouth to speak, then stopped short when he saw the look on Magnus Rex's face. Instead, he peered around Magnus Rex's shoulder at the speech he'd written, then pointed to a paragraph toward the bottom of the page. Magnus Rex nodded, looked at the paragraph, and began reading aloud.
"We need only demonstrate our power, show them how much easier their lives will be with us in control, let them enjoy the peace and security that our protection will bring, and they will gladly do whatever they can to keep us in charge. We will provide food and clean water to them at no cost, with no labor required. We will keep them safe from one another, at first by shielding them from attack by their neighbors, then, in time, by leading them and their neighbors as well to seek peaceful resolutions to their differences."
Magnus Galka said,
"I'd suggest stopping there for now. I think that's enough. Do you see now, Eddie?"
Magnus Rex continued reading.
"And in the unlikely event that some of them still voice dissent, I give you my word that our retribution, while swift and spectacular enough to act as a deterrent, will be as humane as possible."
After a moment of thick silence, Magnus Galka said,
"Admittedly, in the context of this conversation, that last part didn't sound great. In my defense, I didn't think we'd Magnus would get as much resistance from you as he has.
Your defense? Is that you thought we'd be into it?
Gary asked. Magnus Galka looked at Gary, then at Eddie, then at the floor while he thought for a moment, before he finally said,
Yeah, I guess that is my defense. What's wrong with that? And look, yeah, I know having to step on the occasional malcontent to keep the peace isn't a very appealing idea. Killing a cow sounds terrible, but a steak dinner sounds great. We aren't talking about widespread mayhem here. Just the occasional demonstration of our power to keep dissent from spreading. Punish a few people occasionally to keep from having to punish more later on. At worst, we're talking about killing hundreds to save millions. Isn't that just the moral thing to do?
Eddie shouted,
Not if you're the one threatening the millions in the first place. Look, I don't speak for everyone, just myself, but I won't be a party to this. I won't have anything to do with it, aside from trying my hardest to stop it.
Magnus Galka said,
We are sorry to hear that you feel that way.
Gary said,
I'm with Eddie.
Sergio said,
Uh-oh, Magnus, you've angered your base.
Gary shouted,
Shut up!
I will, but only after I say that I agree with you and Eddie. Magnus, I won't help you with this.
Another wizard agreed, then another, and another, until the entire table erupted in conversation about what a terrible idea it was, and how stupid Magnus Rex had been to believe Magnus Galka when he said the other wizards would go along with it. Magnus Rex looked over the table full of wizards, clearly frustrated. He turned to Magnus Galka, who shrugged at him. Magnus Rex raised a fist in the air, inhaled deeply, and opened his mouth to shout, but went silent, as did all the other wizards. When Philip, Martin, Gwen, Tyler, Roy, and Jeff appeared at the far end of the table.
Now?
Gary asked.
You show up now? After the nominations? After the vote? After the Magnuses proposed to set themselves up as co-dictators for life?
There will be only one dictator, Magnus Rex said.
Yes,
Eddie said.
Do you know who that be? The answer may surprise you.
Philip said,
I told you we'd arrive at the perfect time. This is the perfect time.
After everything happened?
Gary asked.
Yes, because the Magnuses needed to get the job to understand what the job actually is and why they don't want it.
We don't?
Magnus Rex asked. Philip said,
No, not really. You want to be in charge, I get that. It sounds great. But what you didn't understand is that a job title doesn't make you a leader. You're only a leader if people are willing to follow you. If they aren't, the title of chairman is just a word. There was a crazy guy who called himself the Emperor of San Francisco, and a con man who called himself the Baron of Arizona. Hell, Frank Sinatra was called Chairman of the Board. Now you're Chairman of the Wizards. Can you really tell me your title is more impressive than theirs?
Magnus Rex said,
But those people you mentioned were crazy.
Roy growled,
Frank Sinatra was not crazy.
Magnus Rex said,
Chairman of the Wizards is a real job, a real office. I was elected to it.
Philip pointed at the wizards sitting around the table.
Yes, by a minority of the wizards, all of whom just said they aren't going to do what you told them to do. Now you see that real power doesn't come from winning elections.
That's right,
Martin said. Philip continued,
You may win, technically, and the job will carry certain powers and privileges, but to truly accomplish anything, you need the people to back you up. Winning a job is pointless if the people won't let you do it. You, as an elected official, work for your constituents. It's not a platitude, it's the truth. The only power you have comes from your followers choosing to follow.
Martin nodded.
Precisely.
History's rife with examples of people who got into power without a clear mandate from the people and spent their term mired, unable to get anything notable done.
Martin said,
I think they get it.
Or,
Philip said,
people who have managed to gain their party's nomination for some high office but didn't have the support of a sizable portion.
Philip, I think you're getting off track.
I'm just saying, Martin, I'm not trying to make a point about any one politician. I'm commenting on the nature of elected offices in general.
I think everyone understands that, Philip.
Do they, Martin? I hope so, because it's important to me that everyone knows I'm not picking on any one person or party.
I know.
I've just been thinking about this subject a lot lately.
Yeah, we get it.
Because of recent
events,
Martin interrupted.
Yeah, we all have. Let's just move on.
You're saying that I can only get them to do what they want to do anyway?
Magnus Galka said.
Yes.
But as a leader, can't Magnus make his followers want to do what I think he thinks? Yeah. Let me rephrase that.
I don't think you need to, Martin said. What you just said was plenty accurate.
What's that supposed to mean?
Magnus Rex asked. Magnus Galka said.
Yes, I don't have any idea what you're getting at, Martin.
Oh, come on. It's obvious that you're totally worm-tonguing him.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Magnus Galka said, and I wish you wouldn't call it that.
Fine, Martin said. You're little-fingering him.
That's not much better. What I'm saying is that as the leader, Magnus can convince everybody to do what he feels is best for all of us, yes?
Oh, yeah,
Philip said.
Some say that getting people to agree to the right course of action, even if it runs counter to their instincts or short-term interests, is the highest form of leadership.
Magnus Galka laughed.
Well, that's all we're talking about, Philip. Convincing people to do what we know is best by publicly punishing those who don't.
No!
Philip shouted.
No, that's not what I meant at all. A leader shows them why the desired course of action is what's best for them. A dictator tells them how it's going to be and punishes dissent.
Okay, smart guy. Explain to me why it's best for me not to do what I want.
Because you'll lose all of our respect.
Magnus Galka arched an eyebrow.
So you're saying we had your respect to begin with?
Yes!
The wizards behind him looked at the ceiling or the floor. A few made uncertain little humming noises. Philip said,
You had some of our respect. A certain number of us held you in some esteem. We all agreed you had qualities. The point is, however much respect we had for you before, we'll have less if you try to just ram what you want down our throats.
Magnus Rex turned to Magnus Galka.
Look, man. I didn't want to do things this way to begin with. This is your thing. You said we'd be in charge if we won. If all this is just going to be us getting insulted, I have better things to do.
Magnus Galka put a calming hand on Magnus Rex's shoulder.
I know. Please be patient for just a minute more, my friend.
Magnus Rex rolled his eyes and shrugged. Magnus Galka turned back to Philip.
What you've been trying to tell me is that a leader would use logic and reason to explain why the path he's chosen is best, to persuade his constituents to go along.
Philip said,
Yes.
But a dictator would use threats to convince others not to oppose his plans.
Exactly. I think you understand.
I do. You've explained it to us very logically and reasonably, and we are not convinced. So if Magnus and I were to just go ahead and start enacting our plans, what would happen?
Philip grimaced. Martin said,
"We'll stop you."
By force?
Magnus Galka asked.
If necessary.
Magnus Galka nodded.
And that's a threat, so it's not a question of who's the leader, Philip. It's just a matter of who's going to become the dictator first.
I don't see it that way.
That just means I have a head start. Renuring!
A blinding bolt of white-hot lightning blasted down from the sky, shattering the windows in its way as it shot into the main hall. The bolt hit Philip before spreading to all of the other wizards around the table, except the two Magnuses. Normal lightning lasts a fraction of a second, striking its target, writhing in the air for an instant, then disappearing, leaving nothing but a charred tree, a terrible smell, and a squiggly line burnt into the retinas of whoever was present to witness it. This arc persisted, twisting in space with an ear-splitting buzz and delivering a constant stream of high-voltage electricity into the chests of the wizards. They all remained where they'd been standing or sitting when first struck. But they were not still. They trembled violently, their muscles spasming, teeth gritting, eyes wide open. Magnus Galka, his eyes squeezed shut, magically produced two pairs of welding goggles. He put one on and gave the other to Magnus Rex. The Magnuses walked around the table. As they moved into the buzzing, strobing mass of writhing tendrils of electricity that encompassed and reached out from all of the wizards, the darting bolts of power seemed to warp and detour around them, as if they were somehow repellent to lightning. Magnus Galka approached Philip, standing right in front of him.
Electricity won't kill us, wizards, but it still hurts like hell and makes the muscles clench. We learned that the hard way when Magnus Rex tried to make a lamp out of some antlers. We are going to go now. We have a whole planet full of new subjects just waiting to be informed of their place in the world. When we've done that, we'll come back, turn the lightning off, and see if you're ready to be part of the future or not.
Magnus Galka turned to Magnus Rex and shouted,
I suggest we go!
Magnus Rex said,
It's about time!
The two Magnuses flew straight through one of the floor-to-ceiling glass windows, shattering it with no concern that they might be hurt by falling glass or anything else. Up on the catwalk, Maddie, Brewster, Gilbert, and Sid had all averted their periscopes to keep from being blinded. Maddie said,
We have to do something.
Sid said,
I wholeheartedly concur.
He deactivated the invisibility spell. As the light-warping field dissipated, he was revealed, sitting, leaned against a handrail with his legs crossed, looking through his hat-mounted periscope. Gilbert also became visible. Both of them, in unison, turned to the floating periscopes and blurred distortions that denoted the twins. Maddie said,
Yeah, we know. Please don't say it.
Brewster said,
We wait here, right?
Sid said,
Indeed. We have to tell you to stay here and stay safe. Thank you for understanding.
Sid stepped off the catwalk and began to float down toward the lightning-encrusted clump of twitching wizards. Maddie said,
He thanked us for understanding, not for doing as he asked.
Brewster said,
He didn't ask us to stay here. He told us to,
which is rude. But really, he didn't even tell us to stay. He told us that he had to tell us to stay.
Brewster smiled.
So, he didn't really leave us with any clear instruction?
No, he didn't. Quite irresponsible of him.
Quite,